journey. Never cease to anybody but study his name. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the sixth canto, chapter 15, verse number 3 is on the board. Okay, 3. Yata prayanti samyanti shoto vegena balukaha samyujante viyujante tata kalena dehinaha yata prayanti samyanti shoto vegene balukaha samyujante viyujante tata kalena dehinaha yata prayanti samyanti shoto vegene balukaha samyujante viyujante tata kalena dehinaha yata prayanti samyanti shoto vegene balukaha samyujante viyujante tata kalena dehinaha. Samyujante viyujante takalena dehinaha. Vaishnavis. Yata, just as, prayanti, Move apart. Samyanti. Come together. Shrotavegena. By the force of waves. Balukaha. The small particles of sand. Samyujante. They are united. Viyujante. They are separated. Tata. Similarly. Kalena. By time. Dehinaha. The living entities who have accepted material bodies. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and are sometimes separated due to the force of the waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. Please repeat. O King, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and are sometimes separated due to the force of the waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. Purport. The misunderstanding of the conditioned soul is the bodily conception of life. The body is material, but within the body is the soul. This is spiritual understanding. Unfortunately, one who is in ignorance, under the spell of material illusion, accepts the body to be the self. He cannot understand that the body is matter. Like small particles of sand, bodies come together and are separated by the force of time. And people falsely lament for unification and separation. Unless one knows this, there is no question of happiness. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 2.13, this is the first instruction given by the Lord. Dehinosmin yata dehe, komaram yovaram jala, tata dehantara praptir, diras tata namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. We are not the body. We are spiritual beings trapped in the body. Our real interest lies in understanding this simple fact. So repeat that again. We are not the body. We are spiritual beings trapped in the body. And then Prabhupada says, our real interest lies in understanding this simple fact. Then we can make further spiritual progress. Otherwise, if we remain in the bodily conception of life, our miserable material existence will continue forever. Political adjustments, social welfare work, medical assistance, and the other programs we have manufactured for peace and happiness will never endure. We shall have to undergo the sufferings of material life one after another. Therefore, material life is said to be dukhalayam asasvatam, Bhagavad Gita 8.15. It is a reservoir of material conditions. Om Gyanatinandasya Jnanandana Salakaya. Chaksus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagatamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tubhyascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the verse again. Yata prayanti samyanti sroto vegene baluka samyunjante viyujante tata kalena dehinaha. O king, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and are sometimes separated due to the force of the waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. And as Prabhupada says in the purport here, we are not the body, we are spiritual beings trapped in the body. Our real interest lies in understanding this simple fact. Just see this, just two sentences are so powerful. Everything is in there. And Prabhupada's descriptions are so vivid and so nice. So who has not been overcome by these waves of the material energy? We can all experience that. And many of us, we have also come across or met many people that have been overcome by this grief or lamentation. I can remember in Denver, I was in the office there, and some man comes knocking on the door, and you could see his face was all dried up like King Chitraketu's, and his very depressed condition. And he comes and he says he needs some help, and I said, how can I help you? And he said, I actually want to commit suicide. So he was telling his whole story. His wife, he was an Indian man who married an American woman who didn't appreciate his culture and who didn't treat him very nicely, and things weren't working out. So he wanted to kill himself because he was just, I guess his heart was broken and he was feeling depressed and like that. So also we've experienced 9/11, many people were calling the temple. They were bewildered, wondering, you know, what's the meaning of my life? What should I be doing? You know, what is all this? So people were in a very lamentable condition. These waves of material nature are very powerful, and they just throw people here and there, and they become very much bewildered. So here's the king. He's in this position right now. But as we'll find out, he becomes the most perfect person. Why? Because he receives this transcendental knowledge. And he's understanding that actually, I am a spirit soul. I'm completely separate from all this matter. So he understood this simple fact by the association of these great sages of Angira Muni and Narada Muni. So he's been very fortunate. And what is their instructions? They're explaining to them the science, you know, how this material energy is working, and how we see these waves, using analogies in so many different nice ways. Sorry, some more waves. So just like we have the Pacific Ocean here, we see sometimes it's very calm and quiet. But other times there's a superior force. It pushes it and the waves become very high. And this is the wind. So there's one force that's superior to the waves, which is the air. And then there's another force which is superior to that, until we actually arrive at the ultimate source or force of everything, which is Krishna. You know, just as the waves, they're moved by air, and then the air is created by ether, then the ether produced by the agitation of the three modes of material nature, and the three modes of material nature, they interact due to the supreme glance of Krishna over the material energy. So what are these waves? The waves that we experience are the three modes of material nature. And sometimes we're suffering, we're being drowned by these waves. Sometimes we're going up, we get some relief, and then sometimes we're going down, we're almost drowning. So this process of suffering, going up and down, there's a solution. There's a way to get out of this anxiety, to stop this perpetual being carried away. And that's simply by taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna says that sarva dharma pratitya mamekam saradam bhaja. Just surrender to me and you will not be suffering. So this is the material world. It's always constantly changing. You know, it's being annihilated. You know, the waves of the ocean, they appear in a minute and then they're gone. So all material forms are like these waves in the ocean. They appear for some time, they stay for some time, they produce byproducts, they dwindle, and at last they vanish. So all these forms, they undergo these changes, but yet the conscious self, the Atma, the soul, the person remains the same. So this is what the king is actually becoming enlightened in this way. So we're changing, and it's changing. This body is like every second. It's described, even scientifically, that the corpuscles of the blood are being changed every second. And it's imperceptible. Just like we appear to be growing, but it's not that we're growing. We're actually changing. The body's completely changing. Like, you know, there's a young boy, and then the family relatives, they go away for some time and then they come back and they see, wow, he's grown so big. Can't even recognize him. He didn't grow, he actually changed his body. So we're constantly changing like this at every moment. You know, there's different analogies that are used. Just like the cinema spool of the movie theater. It looks like people are actually moving. You know, appears that the person is moving, is like that. But actually every frame, it's a different picture. But it's just moving fast, so fast, imperceptible that you can't see the individual frames. So like that, we're changing. Our body's changing like that. But it's imperceptible. So this is a very dangerous position we're in. And many great saintly persons like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Jiva Krishna Das, A Bishvas, Kole To Ara Dukunai. That if you accept, you know, he says, why are you sometimes drowning in these waves, sometimes going up and down? If you just become, accept this principle that I am a servant of Krishna, then you become immediately saved from this washing of the waves of Maya. And there's a nice prayer. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. So this is the great fortune of King Chitraketu, that he was indeed worshipping the lotus feet of these great devotees. So therefore he was able to get free. And they're explaining to him how this material world is like a dream. You see, it's very temporary. Just like the ocean waves, they're tossed. You know, the material nature is tossing with the waves of time. And this is what's happening. Time is ticking. And the living conditions are considered to be like foaming bubbles, which appear before us as the bodily condition that we find ourselves in, our wives, children, society, countrymen, These are all considered to be like foaming bubbles. But due to lack of this ignorance, or due to lack of knowledge of the self, then we become victimized. And we spoil our human life simply in a vain search, you know, trying to find a permanent condition here, which is impossible in the material world. Prabhupada describes them as madmen. They're, you know, working so hard, following a way of phantasmagoria, like madmen. There was actually I heard about this. It was a TV show called Mad Men, and it was all about these in the early days, I think in the 60s, these salesmen, and how they would live their lives to try to sell products and do so many things, and how they actually lived like madmen. And it was all the psychology behind it and everything. They're completely mad what they're going through. So this is like that. The whole material creation is just a jugglery of names. You know, there's this is bewildering creation, earth, water, fire. You know, they come in the forms of these buildings, furnitures, cars, bungalows, mills, factories, industries, peace, war. You know, all these things, even to the highest perfections of science, atomic energy, electronics, they're all simply bewildering names of the material elements. And Prabhupada describes these as simply no more significant than the babble of sea waves. So just see how temporary all these things is, so vividly describing this material energy and how we could relate to it. There's a nice, also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the same thing. My dear brothers, you are being carried away by the waves of material energy and are suffering in many miserable conditions. Sometimes you are drowning in the waves of material nature, and sometimes you are tossed like a swimmer struggling in the ocean. So he's confirming how we're being battered by the waves of Maya, but we can change. You know, we can change this battering condition to our natural condition, which is spiritual. And simply by understanding how we are eternally Krishna Das. We're servants of Krishna. Krishna Das e Vishvas, Karle ta ada dukhanai. Instead of serving Maya under different names, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one turns his service attitude toward the Supreme Lord, then he's safe, and there is no more difficulty. If one returns to his original natural tendency in the human form of life, by understanding the perfect knowledge given by Krishna himself and the Vedic literatures, one's life is successful. So this is where real knowledge comes from, is from the Vedas, or from Krishna. Describing, and the pure devotees, they're describing this. And this is King Chitraketu. He's becoming enlightened by this perfect knowledge. And he's going to become a perfect person. In fact, he'll be glorified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears before him personally. And then he will recite wonderful prayers, and you'll see his lamentation now compared to the prayers that he will be saying, you know, glorifying the Supreme Lord and describing himself as just an animal trying to enjoy in this material world. So, you know, he becomes enlightened. And in fact, even Lord Shiva praises him, because as we'll see how he, King Chitraketu, what happens is that he offends, you know, Lord Shiva and his wife, and he's cursed. But he is so magnanimous in the way he responded to this curse, because he's so enlightened. He doesn't care whether I'm cursed or praised, but these are all just the modes of material nature. They're all temporary. They're all the same. So he didn't care. He wasn't afraid to be cursed. So he actually, you know, through Lord Shiva and King Chitraketu, they actually, even Parvati's mind became steady, her intelligence became steady by the example of these great devotees, these great Vaishnavas. So we'll see the great contrast of what it means. We're seeing what it means to be covered by the material energy, and then what it's like to be free from these modes of material nature. So it's interesting how it's just our perception of things, how Prabhupada describes in a purport that King Chitraketu didn't have to be so attached like this. He could have seen it in a different way. He could have saw that this child is giving him grief because, you know, he's probably an enemy in my previous life, and therefore he's causing me all this pain. And so now he's dead, so I should be happy because he's my enemy. So in this way, there's so many ways of perceiving things, how, you know, we become attached in a certain way. So like that. And as far as the bodily waves, they're described as the material conditions of hunger, thirst, lamentation, bewilderment, old age, and death. But the liberated person, he's not concerned with these six physical interactions, which are considered to be waves also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is always singing that prayer. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? These are creations of Maya. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. So just as Krishna's controlling, he's behind everything. If we just remember and see how Krishna's doing everything, then we can be free from this. And for to do this, to become free, the Shastras advise us, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Kevalam. Once you constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Otherwise, if we neglect this, it's actually described to be, we're not even being merciful to ourselves. You know, instead, what we're doing, we're becoming more and more absorbed in these material illusions of I am black, I am white, you know, and so many things. One's described to actually be a killer of his own soul if one cannot consider how, you know, who he really is, then he's not really merciful in that way. Also, another analogy is used is that we're like straws in the water. And the whole world is under these waves of this material spell. And we're like beings floating like straw in this water. Sometimes we come together, sometimes we're separated that way. But as soon as we become conscious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this illusory struggle for existence, it immediately stops. So there was a very nice, this verse also reminded me of this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Persons devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. Being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, wife, etc. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So it's a very powerful purport given by Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like to go through this. This is very, I read most of it here. The material world is called the world of death. Every living being, beginning from Brahma, whose duration of life is sometimes thousands of millions of years, down to the germs who live for a few seconds only, is struggling for existence. Therefore, this life is a sort of fight with material nature, which imposes death upon all. In the human form of life, a living being is competent enough to come to an understanding of this great struggle for existence. But being too attached to family members, society, country, etc., he wants to win over the invincible material nature by the aid of bodily strength, children, wife, relatives, etc. Although he is sufficiently experienced in the matter by dint of past experience and previous examples of his deceased predecessors, he does not see that the so-called fighting soldiers, like the children, relatives, society members, and countrymen, are all fallible in the great struggle. One should examine the fact that his father or his father's father has already died, and that he himself is therefore also sure to die. And similarly, his children, who are the would-be fathers of their children, will also die in due course. No one will survive in this struggle with material nature. The history of human society definitely proves it. Yet the foolish people still suggest that in the future they will be able to live perpetually with the help of modern science. This poor fund of knowledge exhibited by human society is certainly misleading, and it is all due to ignoring the constitution of the living soul. This material world exists only as a dream due to our attachment to it. Otherwise, the living soul is always different from material nature. The great ocean of material nature is tossing with the waves of time, and the so-called living conditions are sometimes like foaming bubbles, which appear before us as bodily self, wife, children, society, countrymen, etc. Due to the lack of knowledge of the self, we become victimized by the force of ignorance and thus spoil the valuable energy of human life in a vain search after permanent living conditions, which are impossible in this material world. Our friends, relatives, and so-called wives and children are not only fallible, but also bewildered by the outward glamour of material existence. As such, they cannot save us. Still, we think that we are safe within the orbit of family, society, or country. The whole materialistic advancement of human civilization is like the decoration of a dead body. Everyone is a dead body flapping only for a few days. And yet, all the energy of human life is being wasted in the decoration of this dead body. Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out the duty of the human being after showing the actual position of bewildered human activities. Persons who are devoid of the knowledge of Atma Tattva are misguided, but those who are devotees of the Lord have perfect realization of transcendental knowledge, are not bewildered. So I'm reading this verse in purport, which is being read by a devotee. It's a conversation Prabhupada's having, and they're reading this. So Prabhupada, a devotee is reading this to Prabhupada, just like I'm reading it to you. And then Prabhupada says, "Sometimes I am become surprised how I have written this. Although I am the writer, still sometimes I am surprised how these things have come. Such vivid description. Where is such literature throughout the world? It is all Krishna's mercy. Every line is perfect." Just see how it's so nicely, these vivid descriptions of the material energy and our relationships like that. It's so nicely described. And Prabhupada even himself is very nicely seeing that. So all these things, we'll begin to see that, you know, the king, his wife, his house, his opulences, everything, these things like that, objects of sense perception, they're all the same. Everything's the same in that they're all temporary. So just this simple fact, Prabhupada says, we have to understand. And this is the king. He's been asked to consider this very carefully. You know, consider the position of the Atma. You know, try to understand who you are. Are you this body? Are you the mind? Are you the soul? Consider where you're coming from and where you're going after you give up this body. So Prabhupada, in the purport, and I'll end with this, he describes how the Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of a misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable sinful actions and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body, but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they're working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful. Jai. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Any comments or questions? Realizations? Jai. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.